This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Good morning, church. Are you thawed out yet? A little frosty around the edges, but glad to have you today. As Matt said, I'd love to meet you. If you're new to Restoration, welcome to this pioneering work in downtown St. Joe that just got a little more comfortable this week. I'm not sure how I think about that. I want you going to sleep on me in those comfy chairs, okay? Just, I've got electrodes in the seat there. I can zap you at any moment, so if I hear snoring, look out. But we'd love to meet you. I'll be back here at the Giving Kiosk area with your gift. This week, we had some people I totally short-sheeted last week, so I got to make up for that this week, but glad to have you guys here today. And just want to say thank you to two guys who are home sleeping now that drove 48 hours straight, like in one trip, to pick these chairs up and bring them to you. So when you see them, thank Don and Scott, Don Vesser and Scott Copeland, but don't wake them up because they're a little grumpy because of sleep deprivation, all right? As Matt said, we're so glad to have you here, and so many good things are going on, and we're starting a brand new series today, kind of at the head of the year. Last week, we recapped some of what last year was and gave you sort of a priority list for us for 2016. Today, I want to launch a new series called The Basics, and really a way to begin the new year going back to the foundations of our faith as believers in Jesus. And if you're not there yet, we get that, and we're glad that you're here. So many people come to Restoration because they feel at home, they feel comfortable here. And with no church background, one of the things that we're responsible to do is to help people understand what it is we believe. So it's good for those who've been walking with God for a while and those who are still trying to figure things out. Together, we're going to go through these seven basics is what we'll cover over the next 7 weeks. And I'm going to enlist the help of one of America's favorite Bible teachers, Francis Chan, to help introduce today's first basic. It's called Fear God. Pretty cool video illustration. And we're going to be using those videos throughout this series. How many of you are afraid of the water? Confess. So that kind of unsettle you just a little bit there, Charity? Was that a little hard to watch with the water rising up? I mean, it's a little disconcerting. It's just a little scary. And that is exactly the point. I think we can become so comfortable in our relationship with God that we lose the scary, you know? And there's something healthy about the scary. Now, you guys know me. You know my heart. You know, if you've been around me any length of time at all, you know I'm a lover. I always teach the Father heart of God and how he loves us. We sang it a while ago, right? We talked about it last week that one of our callings as a church is to love people. But here's the thing. If you just take in all the love, but you leave out the fear of the Lord, you've kind of missed the point. And Francis quoted the scripture, you know, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where it begins. I've got a question I want to pose to you this morning, just to think about. Because people often say this. They make this statement. Well, the first thing I'm going to do when I see God, I'm going to ask him blank, right? Have you ever heard that or said that? What an arrogant thing to say. Friend, when you see God, you ain't going to be able to say nothing. You're going to be on your face like a dead man. You have no words. That's the sense of awe and fear. You know, as Francis said, we'd like to, as pastors, soften the blow just a little bit. Oh, it's a reverence. It's a quietness. It's, you know, well, yeah, it is that. But it's also fear. Like, he's the boss of me. How many of you act a little different when the boss is in the room, you know, and at work, right? You do things a little differently. There's a little fear there. That's kind of the concept that we're talking about here. We want God to be manageable, as Francis said. And in reality, if we ever came face to face with God the way Isaiah did, we'd feel the same way. I am toast. I am done. I'm fricasseed. You know, I'm French fried. I'm a crispy critter. It's like, that's it, baby. It's all over. And if you don't feel that way, then you maybe need to check and see, okay, so who is it really I think God truly is? And oftentimes in the church today, we I'm guilty of this. You know, when I'm meeting someone new and I'm wanting them to know the God that I know, I'm going to approach it from the love standpoint. But I also have had to, as a pastor, I'm going to be honest, especially if I meet someone who's, you know, living a life or have beliefs that are contrary to Scripture, I don't make that my first point of discussion. But I have to, the Bible says, speak the truth, what? In love. So yeah, we speak the truth. You can't take away from what the book says. I agree with Francis. You know, I see and read an encounter with a living God is going to mess you up. It's not going to be pleasant necessarily. That's, I think, something the American church has lost sight of. Psalm 111 is what we were quoting in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs the eternal praise. Not to me, not to Restoration Church, not to the political parties that you support. Praise goes one place and one place only, to the living God. And we can't even begin to live wisely unless we understand and start from this, the beginning of the fear of the Lord, this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-creative being that we say we follow and worship. And popular Christianity likes to downplay the power of God. We need God to be something we can figure out, something we can logic our way through. This is such an interesting place for us to begin this series because it's counterintuitive to the way that I think. And yet I know that the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then guess what? If you want to be wise, who wants to be wise? Everybody wants to be wise, right? We all think we are. Well, then we start with the fear of the Lord. I would not be teaching the full counsel of God if I left that component out and just tried to make this a feel-good church. And I like to feel good. You know, who doesn't? But there's something about the fear of the Lord that we're going to find out that is absolutely necessary for us to grasp the rest of Scripture. It's like we say we believe in God, we acknowledge His existence, but we don't live as if He exists. You know, and it's different that the Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, right? That's not a spirit of fear that we're talking about here. There's a difference. It says, you know, the question that we have to come back and ask ourselves is, do I live my life in a way that demonstrates that I fear the Lord? Do I live in a way that causes me to say, yeah, I have a healthy fear of God? And if you would answer yes, then think about what evidence you have to back that up, that you feel that you live that way in the fear of the Lord. It takes shape in many different ways by the choices that we make, how we approach God, what we do with our time, our resources, our life, how we talk, how we treat other people. That's fear of the Lord stuff. It's choosing His way over my way. We have a certain perception of God based upon the way that we were raised. And oftentimes, especially again in American Christianity, it's a very casual approach. Like, God is my buddy, right? God's my sugar daddy. And here's the thing. Whether He does what we want or not, He is worthy to be worshipped and feared. Sometimes we base it all on He did what I wanted. Ka-ching, all right, won the lottery, right? 900 million, whatever. It's like, whether He cashes you in, your chips or not, He's still God and worthy to be worshipped. And it's the story in Revelation 1 that Francis was referring to. I want to read that together. If you go to Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, we see John stranded. He's basically been penalized, right? He's outcast on the Isle of Patmos, and he was there sort of as a sentence. And in that place, you know, of imprisonment and isolation and loneliness, he encounters who? The living God. It says in verse 9, we'll read it together. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, before I go on, I want you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stop reading and close your eyes, and I'm going to read for you, because I want you to picture this. If you're like me, I have a visual like thing going on constantly. I think in visual pictures. So I want you to close your eyes. You've all seen great science fiction movies that you can have your special effects people now create what I'm about to read, okay? Close your eyes. Let's imagine together. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in a furnace. His voice like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, while you have seen what is now and what will take place later." Okay, you can look at me. Pretty intense vision, huh? What would you do, right? If you woke up in the middle of the night and that dude's standing at the foot of your bed, you'd do exactly what John did. You would freak, baby. You would just pass out with fear. Come on, let's be honest. That really happened to John. And I don't know how you would respond, but I got a feeling it would look an awful lot like John did. The fear of the Lord, realizing who it is that we worship. When we worship, when we pray, when we talk about God to others, that's who we're talking about. That Jesus, okay, that's the only one there is. Keeping that in mind, how does that line up with the way that we handle our relationship to him, how we obey his commands, how we follow in his footsteps, how we talk to others and treat them? And Jesus said, even though you haven't seen me like that, you're blessed because you haven't seen but believe. That's the core of our faith, is believing that God is. And the Bible describes who this God is. And he's a God that is not only worthy of my worship, he's worthy of my fear. He's worthy to be feared, if you want to put it that way. And again, for me, this is, you know, kind of, I've not had an encounter face-to-face like John did. I've had times in worship, like I'm sure you have, where you've sensed the nearness, the presence of God, and it messes you up. You know, I've had times in worship where I've heard the Lord speak to me inwardly, in my inner man, and it just, I'm just undone. It's like, I just literally dropped to my knees. I've had that experience. But I haven't had this face-to-face thing like John's describing. You know, we walk by faith, right, and not by sight. I did have once in a dream where I experienced the presence of the Lord in a very visual way, and I was asleep, but it was one of those dreams where, you know, you don't know if you're asleep or awake. At the time, I thought I was awake. I was experiencing this dream, and many of you have heard me tell the story, but for the sake of you who are new, this is about 10 years ago, but long before I became a pastor. And I had a dream of a place that now, 10 years later, I know was this place. And I could tell you why. I could give you descriptions of, at the time, the place I was in that fit this place. And so it's crazy looking back. But at the time, I didn't know where I was or what I was doing, but it didn't seem unusual for me to be in that place. And while I was in that place, in that dream, I saw the presence of the Lord like a cloud in the sky, and I knew it was God. And man, I tell you what, in my dream, I did what John did. Go, poof. You know, I just hit the deck. Because man, when you see God, you can't help but be in awe and freaking out a little bit. You're in fear. This is God. I'm in trouble. You know, it's like, this is not going to end well for me. You see something like that and it's really happening, it's like, okay, this is beyond my ability to process. And I saw him in the cloud, and I didn't see a man. I just saw the cloud, but I heard a voice. And I was like, oh, I knew who that was talking. And I'll tell you what he said. And he was talking about this place. Again, this was 10 years ago, long before I was a pastor, long before we knew anything about this place. Now that we're here, it seems obvious. But he said,
in this place, my people will find rest. God was wanting to make a place of rest, of refuge, and thus the name Restoration Church. There you go. Say, aha. Now, that's all clear now, right? But it's just crazy to me because in that dream, it was God I was dealing with. And when I woke up, I was still in that place physically where I couldn't speak. I could just weep. I couldn't talk. Krista thought I was having a heart attack, literally, because I couldn't communicate to her. And then somehow I made sign language and just like, I'm okay. You know, it's like, just give me a moment. And when I composed myself enough to be able to speak, the words just choked out of me. I couldn't, as I was describing to her what just happened to me, it was that real. I can go there right now. I mean, that experience of being in the presence of God forever imprinted on me, like a brand, you know. I'm a branded man, and that's what gives me faith when I look at this place and say, yeah, but God has a plan to make this place a place of refuge, a place of rest for people. It changed me, as any time you come into contact with the living God. Folks, that's what worship is all about. That's why we get together as a congregation to experience the presence of God, so that we leave here not the same way we came. That's the point. And a part of the point is, I fear the Lord enough to say his word is true, so I'm going to do what he says, whether I feel like it or not, whether it's convenient for me or not. I choose his ways over what I want to do. Part of that is the fear of the Lord, choosing God's ways over my own ways. I remember when I was a little boy, my uncle pastored the little church up on St. Joe Avenue. You know, I was a little boy, a single mom. We didn't go to church. So my uncle was the first spiritual influence in my life. And I'll never forget encountering the presence of the Lord for the first time that I could really sense and discern. It was in that little church my uncle pastored that's just about 5 blocks up the road here. Knowing the difference between VBS that I had, you know, as a kid, and the presence of God was a big difference. I knew I was encountering something that was bigger than me. And that's what I've been following the rest of my life. And what's amazing, too, when you look at this response of John, you know, falling at your feet like a dead man is not surprising when you encounter the living God. What is surprising is what Jesus says to John. What did he say? What did he say? He said, do not fear. That's what Francis Chan was alluding to there. It's like, that's what's crazy about this. Anybody would fall on their feet like a dead man in front of that guy with a sword coming out of his mouth and blazing eyes. It's like, boom, you're gone. But what's wild is Jesus said, do not be afraid. Get this. The one who is worthy to be feared tells you, do not be afraid. See, I think only if you understand the fear of the Lord can you appreciate the do not be afraid, right? It's like if I were walking down the alley here on my way out of church today and I go get in my truck and in between then some big burly man stands in my way with a dagger, and for me to say, do not be afraid to that man would be mean nothing. But instead, if he says that to me, that means something. Make sense? It's like, okay, he's telling me not to be afraid, but I'm really afraid right now. That's healthy. That's a healthy fear of the Lord. Not that we want to be terrorized of God and that he's this cranky old man in the sky ready to whack me when if I get out of line. That's not it. See, that's what I've pushed back against as a man, because that's how I was raised. I was raised in a home where I didn't have the balance of love and fear. Many of you had fathers who were very loving, and you knew that they loved you, but you also were a little afraid of them. Anybody have that kind of a dad growing up? Let me see your hands. Did you have that kind of a dad? Several of you did. It's like, you knew he loved you, but you were afraid of him, and when you're going to do what he says, because there's going to be consequences. See, for me, I got beat just because I was there. Just for being alive. So I only know the fear side. I didn't balance that with the love. Some of us are out of balance that way. Other of us, it's like daddy, God's a big sugar daddy in the sky, right? We can get away with whatever we want. My opinion, the way I want to do things is my God. Well, here's what I think. Mm-mm-mm. And you know what? We don't really give a rip about what you think. Your opinion doesn't really matter. But boy, we live in a culture where opinion is our God. Don't dare mess with me. You know, it's the whole tolerance message. I'm a tolerant person. But the Word of God is the Word of God that I can't change because He's God and I'm not. That's why it's the beginning of wisdom. It's where wisdom begins. Francis Chan says this, not until we come to grips with the fearful reality of who God truly is can we understand the security that comes from belonging to Him. That's really good. Wish I'd said that. Let's read it again. Not until we come to grips with the fearful reality of who God truly is can we understand the security that comes from belonging to Him. It's important that you know the God you serve is worthy to be feared. He is. And that's a great place to begin in our basics series. The scripture says it's the beginning. It's the starting point. If you want to have a relationship with God, the fear of the Lord is the starting point. To know, to acknowledge, to recognize He is God and I'm not. Sometimes my opinions get in the way of that, right? I want my opinion. I want it to be the way I want it to be. And God steps in with His little fiery eyes and His sword tongue and His face shining like the sun and says, excuse me, who's in charge here? Right? And we back off if we're smart. Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And that has been a real meaningful verse for me because I'll tell you what, there have been multiple occasions in my life, and men, I'm talking to you now, where the fear of the Lord has saved my bacon. I mean, I wanted to do something. And the fear of the Lord, thank God, kept me from making a big, boneheaded decision that would have cost me a whole lot. Aren't you glad for the fear of the Lord? Say, thank God for the fear of the Lord. It's not a bad thing, you know? Sometimes we think in American culture, the fear of the Lord is bad, and we try to divert the topic, right? But in reality, I'm not doing anybody any favors. Because if the fear of the Lord causes me to depart from evil, I want that. I want it bad. One time I was hearing the story of a pastor who I knew personally who had fallen into adultery. He had an affair with his secretary. And, you know, it was one of those things like, how could this guy? This guy was an amazing Bible teacher, had a large church. You're like, I just feel like he can fall. What's there to save me? That's kind of how I felt. You know, it's like, this is a big, important dude. And he was sharing how that happened. And the end of the story was this. He said, you know, for me, the fear of the Lord wasn't enough because the pull of being wanted by that woman so badly caused me to choose pride, to choose that gratification over what I knew to be true. He said, I needed the fear of the Lord combined with humility. I thought that was really good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But sometimes we, in pride, think we know best or think we're an exception to the rule. It doesn't apply to me. Humility recognizes He is God and I am not. And even when I don't feel like it and when I want something, I want it so bad, fear of the Lord causes me to depart, to choose something else besides the evil, choose the good, even when it hurts, even when my pride wants otherwise. The fact to know that this God who is worthy to be feared also loves me and wants me to call Him Daddy is why that means so much to me. He's worthy to be feared. And then in the next breath, He says, do not be afraid. Because I love you. Love you so much, in fact, I sent my son so that you and I could be friends. You and I could have a relationship. And a God like that, who loves that way, I just don't want to disappoint. I don't want to take this love he has for me and just stomp it in the dirt by insisting on my way. Francis quoted Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? This same incredible, all-powerful, all-consuming, eyes of fire, you know, God of the universe, that we fall to our feet like a dead man, is the same one who is for you today. Man, that should put some high octane in your tank right there. He is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. He is your Father. Man, I don't want to detract from that message one bit. The fear of the Lord makes that message so much broader and comes alive. This God is for me. Ain't no devil in hell can stop you if that's the case. If I'll choose the fear of the Lord, if I'll let that be the beginning of my pathway of walking with him, the beginning of wisdom, the reality that he's for me, I mean, everything else grows so ridiculously small and stupid, you know? All my stupid things that I think I want to do, all the attitudes that I get on, you know, all the things I think about other people and all this stuff, it's just like so much dung. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? I count it all as rubbish. There's a stronger word to describe that in the Hebrew that I won't use. But it's bad. It's like, bleh. Who wants that? That I would know him. Part of knowing him is knowing the fear of the Lord. I believe that today as we launch into this new year, I agree with Matt. I think that greater things are happening this year than we've ever seen. I mean, you're sitting in part of them right now. Did I tell you how those chairs came to you? Two men drove 48 hours nonstop without taking a break to deliver those. And, you know, that didn't feel good for them, I doubt. That was a tough journey, but they did it because, like me, they love you and they wanted to serve and bless you. And you can thank Don and Scott when they wake up. But for us who sit here today enjoying the comfort of that, just know this, somebody paid a price for that. This relationship that I want you to know with God who loves you like crazy also contains this nugget of the fear of the Lord, so that when you walk out of here, it changes the way we live, changes the way we walk, it changes the words that we say and how we treat each other and how I spend my time and my money and my energies and my affections and faithfulness to my family and, you know, all those things. The fear of the Lord is like guardrails that keep me on a path, not for the sake of following rules, but so that I can achieve and experience this life that Jesus died to give me. We sang how he loves us, and man, that is so right on. I always want love to lead, but I've got to remember that sometimes when I don't feel loving, or sometimes when I have a messed up definition of what love is, the fear of the Lord is necessary, so that I can then appreciate this amazing love that he has for me, despite the fact that I'm tempted to fail, and I do sometimes. Love brings me back and causes me to fall to my face like a dead man. Say, God, I don't know how this can be, but I'm grateful today that you love me that way. The God who's worthy of my fear also says, fear not. And I promise you to never leave you or ever forsake you. Doesn't that make you want to love him more? See how that works? You know, it's like an awesome cycle that we get caught in. And it pleases the Lord and it causes us to experience more life the more we walk in it. Hope that helps you today. Hope that's a reminder or perhaps maybe a little switching session to say, okay, this year we choose the fear of the Lord. Would you just say that with me? Say, we choose the fear of the Lord. Say it again. We choose the fear of the Lord. Stand to your feet and let's say it again. Say, we choose the fear of the Lord. Say it again. We choose the fear of the Lord. Father, today I pray for us God, as we are on this journey together, Lord, we've seen you do so many awesome things. God, you know, this topic itself is just one of those things that it'd be more fun to teach a knee-slapping, high-fiving, you know, just feel-good kind of message. But I believe, God, that, you know, your wisdom to us today is choose the fear of the Lord. I think that would keep us out of so many ditches on the road. Father, help us today in your presence. We're standing now in the presence of that guy with the white robe and the gold sash, the white hair and the burning eyes and glowing feet and the sun, face like the sun. That's the guy. That's the man. That's the God that we're standing before now. Father, we choose to order and submit our way to you in the fear of the Lord. We know you want to bless us. That's not even a question. But I believe we'll mess it up. We'll get to thinking it's about us if in humility we don't choose to acknowledge who it is that we worship. You are worthy, God, worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our fear. You're worthy of our love and our adoration, God. You alone are worthy. There is no one else that even comes close. You alone are worthy. Help us to choose to fall to our knees, to fall on our faces, God, on a regular basis, acknowledging who you are. I want you to keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. You know, the first step is receiving that gift of grace that we didn't deserve. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross. If anything else would have done, God would have done that, but it couldn't make up for the fact of this sin gulf, the separation between us and God, and only the gift of his Son. Talk about love, amazing love that we didn't deserve. This God who's worthy to be feared loved you so much. He gave his only Son. If you've never said yes, if you've never surrendered, lift up your hand and surrender today. Let today be the day. Who wants to surrender today, fresh and new for the first time? Thank you for that. Anybody else? See, this is why we're here. This is the first step on an awesome, awesome journey. Some of us have been on the journey for a while, but we can never have enough of the basics. To bring it back to the fear of the Lord today is so right. It's not entertaining, but it's right. Father, I thank you for those who raised their hands today. Father, for those of us who needed a reminder, just thank you, God. We don't want to be like a buffet Christian where we pick and choose the things that we like. We want it all, Jesus. Because even the things that are tough to swallow, there's benefit for us. Kind of like liver and onions. Ugh, you know, who wants that? But the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, Lord, we choose it. We choose it over dessert today, God, because we know it's better for us. It's good for us, Lord, to remember the healthy fear of God so that our opinions don't drive our decisions. Our mouth isn't just a vomit session of what we feel, but instead we guard our mouths. We guard our hearts and minds because we want to be like you, Jesus. We want to know you for who you are. We want to fall at the feet of the man in the white robe and the blazing eyes and say, you are God. This is the God that I worship and serve. He's in control. I am not. This is the God this world needs. Father, may we be a church that represents you truthfully in all the love, all the mercy, all the grace you give us in the context of the fear of the Lord that is the beginning, just the beginning of wisdom. May our steps be marked with wisdom that comes from knowing the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.